Chapter 3. Robert Bob Wattler, Director of Forward Planning, GM Overseas Operations, 1960 to 1965. Does he know any words besides four-letter ones? After 5 years active duty in the Marine Corps, I attended UC Berkeley in what is now called the Haas School of Business, made a living as a Marine Reserve aviator and vacuum cleaner salesman, and quite enjoyed the academic world. I graduated in 1962 with highest honors and planned to join the Ford Motor Company after a one-year academic assignment in Europe. My father, the banker, considered this a poor choice. "What happened with General Motors? Didn't they want you?" "That wasn't it," I explained. "GM does an interview on the West Coast. They've found that Californians hate Detroit and soon go back." Dad considered this to be a thin excuse, and since he knew Fred Donner, at the time CEO of GM, from his banking days in New York, he initiated a contact, which triggered a series of interviews that, in turn, resulted in my being hired as a senior analyst in the forward planning department of General Motors overseas operations. My starting salary was to be $8,000, derisory in today's anemic dollars, but this was in 1963, when the average middle-class home cost $35,000, hamburgers were 15 cents, gasoline was around 30 cents a gallon, and the average new car cost $2,500. So multiply by 10, and you've got a reasonable starting salary. I was thrilled. Somehow, somebody had neglected to inform Mr. Bob Wattler that I had been hired into his small, presumably elite team, and this was to make for a stormy welcome. On my first day, I reported to him. I was immaculately dressed and ready to impress. I knocked on the open door and a loud, deep voice shouted, "Come on in, goddammit, who the hell told you to knock?" He was a big man. In his early 60s, he had the beefy, congested appearance of a former wrestler or pro football linebacker who had let himself get out of shape. His hair was close-cropped white. The prominent nose was flanked by pronounced cheekbones, which, in turn, formed a visual counterpoint to jowls lower down on his massive face. When he rose, it was clear that his substantial frame was anything but agile. His head moved hardly at all on what passed for a neck. It was more a slightly thinner extension of the torso, blending.